reunited and it feels so good. Good. Good.
Oh my God.
Hey, Chris, can we welcome everyone, listeners all over the world, to the very first episode of Diesel and Clooney Unpack the World, where Diesel and Clooney are actually in the exact same location in the world that they are unpacking, which is not entirely true until, Chris, you sit on my lap. So
this is very true. I'll scooch right over. I got this.
We're in person, man.
We're live and in the same space.
And how crazy is that?
Yeah. Well, almost as crazy as keeping my eyes closed and waiting for your intro. I had to close my eyes.
You letting go of the reins.
If I keep my eyes open, I'm going to giggle.
Maybe the last time.
And I would have been startled by the musical goodness.
The musical goodness.
Actually, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to change all the levels. Because that was just so loud. Nope, it's good. It's so good.
Reunited. And the beauty of it is that right now, as we speak, the conference that we met at is going on.
It's so true.
It's FIGT time where you and I met.
Yep.
And we get to be in person, even though the conference now.
Yeah, the conference is gone virtual.
Digital. Yeah.
We, however, are live.
We're live. We're doing it the right way.
And we haven't been in the same space since
that one time.
That one time.
Yeah.
And it worked at the city. Kansas City.
A year and a half ago, almost.
Yeah.
And that's the only time, apart from this, that we've been in the same space since we started doing this.
Since Thailand.
Yeah, it's good to be in person.
Oh, it really is. Yeah. It's like I said, it's going to be hard. First of all, we normally record on separate tracks so I can edit. We're not. This is all. No, I can't edit anything. No, if I lose control and giggle, I can't edit it out.
Yep.
Normally, I can edit out a lot of my giggling. There's no giggle control now. we've lost giggle control, Jerry. We've lost giggle control.
Great.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. I feel like if you went back over the course of our episodes and just checked, did a pulse check on this, the number of times that we've started with what could possibly go wrong.
Oh, it's true.
It's a high percentage. It's
Jerry. I think that's our daily merch. We just named it. Is the what could possibly,
what
go,
could
wrong
possibly
t-shirts.
Go wrong?
Yep. We can do that.
I feel like that will sell more.
Yeah.
After a big scandal.
Yeah.
Like we need to do something.
Now we got to plan a scandal. I feel like a scandal and stuff takes so much planning and forethought. I don't think we're the types to do that.
Yeah, not for
we're never going to get busted for scandal because we just can't be bothered. It sounds like a lot of work. We're just not going to do it. No. Oh, I'm glad that being in person doesn't feel like a lot of work, Jerry.
No, it doesn't.
This feels natural. But you know what, Jerry?
Yeah, I love it. Live in-person segue into...
You know what, Jerry?
Tell me, please.
I feel like with the pandemic and all, not everyone is finding it easy to get back into in-person. We all yearn for it.
We do.
But I think it's a challenge for some. Maybe, Jerry... Maybe we should unpack being in person again.
Let's unpack being in person in person.
Yeah, in person. We'll do it in person because we're not scared. Yeah. We had a quick pre-production meeting. By quick, I mean, 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yep.
And there was a line. I may use it for the title of the episode because I really liked it. It was something like Revenge of the Introverts or something, or the introverts comeuppance. But it has, I think whether you're extroverted or introverted, this whole getting back in person thing, it's a challenge for some.
It's a phenomenon, I would say. Like there's something big happening on both sides of those things. I think one could argue that much of our daily lives has for a long time been kind of biased a little bit towards extroverts. Like we design our lives around, like you join a team, right? What's the first thing you do? Let's do an icebreaker. Hey, new guy, why don't you stand up on the table, cluck like a chicken, tell us about your three most embarrassing moments. And like we design our lives for extroverts, and so the revenge has come. We've all gone to our corners.
It's so true.
But in the process of that, what I've heard from some introverts is we need some people now. Okay, like enough is enough. Yeah. Like we gotta. I'm thrilled to have some me time, but
I've had a lot of me time.
I found out I also need people, right?
Yeah. Which, as we unpack this, Jerry, this would be interesting. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but mm-hmm. for our dear listeners, I'm going to ask it anyway. Jerry, do you think of yourself as more of an introvert or an extrovert?
That's a great.
Or are you an omnivert? I've heard that term, and I like it.
An omnivert,
if you will.
I like that. Well, give me the definition of an omnivert.
Well, I think it
resonates a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's someone who's a little bit of both. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember someone told me once the distinction is the assumption rather is extroverts always need to be around people, mm-hmm. and introverts just crave being alone. But it's less about that. I think the distinction is more where you get energized.
Right.
So a lot of introverts enjoy people.
Sure.
It's just that it tires them out, and a lot of extroverts are probably fine on their own, but they get energized by being around other people. So it's where you're energized, not necessarily where you always interact.
Yeah, I like that. And I've always described myself as an extrovert who has a high respect for quality personal time. And so like I feel like I can get energy from either side. If I get the right group of people, I don't ever want to stop.
Yeah.
If we're hanging out and having fun, and yeah, I love that. I enjoy it. I want it to go all night long.
Yeah.
However, I also I can sit in a room by myself all day long and feel pretty good about it.
Be pretty happy.
Yeah. I feel like both of those things give me energy. I will say being around the wrong group of people sucks the life
just,
out of me.
Just
takes all of it out. I don't like that. How about you?
I mean, I do. I like that. I think you're the definition, I think, of an omnivore. Yeah. I think.
Makes me feel powerful.
You should. You should. The fact that you, I mean, you just draw energy from everything, Jerry.
Powerful. You're just kind of above all of the other.
Yeah, you can't be stopped. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 12, Jerry. You're a 12.
I'm a
12-vert.
Yeah.
I do. For the longest time, I think I thought I was an extrovert because my life functions very extrovertedly. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely, and I can say this as I've gotten older and wiser, I'm definitely an introvert, which does shock people. Mm-hmm. I think I come across as an extrovert.
But you like people.
I love people.
Introverts hear that all the time, right?
Yeah, and I do. I love people. And it's because I love people that I know I need to retreat so that I can continue to love people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a wise phrase that I learned from the Oracle. There was a person on staff at an organization I worked with. I hope she's a listener. If not, I'm going to make her listen to this episode. Her name was Beth, and we always called her the Oracle, because the Oracle knew everything. Mm-hmm. And the Oracle taught me this great phrase. And she said, sometimes you have to protect your ability to appreciate people. And I think that's so true. And I think that's what it is,
yeah,
I think,
good.
To be an extrovert functioning introvert is I love the people, but to keep loving them, I have to protect my ability to appreciate them.
That's well stated. And I feel like I know a lot of introverts who share that sentiment and feel that. And there's a lot of misconceptions, right, about extroverts and introverts. But I feel like introverts get the, maybe because they're not the ones who speak up as much about it, right? but there's a lot of misconceptions about introverts, one of them being that they don't like people.
Right.
Or that they don't enjoy being around people. And I mean, that may be true. It may not be true. Some extroverts don't like people as well. And those are
what a tough world that must be to live in. Yeah. Like to need people,
to
but
need
also.
People and not like them.
Right. I draw my energy from these people I can't stand. It's basically living life with spinach. Like, I know it's healthy and I need it, but my gosh, I don't like to eat it.
Right. That's, yeah.
It is. It's the spinach.
Yeah.
poor extroverts. Poor spinach extroverts. Sad times. No, I do. I think there is. There's a lot of. I think you hear definitely more one side of things. You know, there's all those. I saw a meme recently, mm-hmm. and it was how, and it pointed out that people will say to introverts like, "Oh, why don't you? You know, why don't you come out of your shell? Why don't you?" And the meme said, "You know, you never hear people say the opposite. You never hear introverts say, why don't you get in your shell? Like, my gosh,
I don't know. I feel like I've heard just, that a couple of times.
Why don't you just get in your shell?" There's a meme stream called Very British Problems. And I, man, sometimes it's so very relatable. It had one, and it's when you get to a conference or something, and then, like you said, people are like, why don't we go around the room and everyone share something? And it just, in most introverts and probably Brits' minds, is, no, why don't we not?
Yeah.
Why don't, everything about that sounds terrible. And right. And it's not that introverts don't like to share.
Right.
I think it's that they don't like to be forced to share. That's yeah. That's an energy extraction. Right. And I'll share if I want to, but I don't like it being extracted.
Yeah. Yeah. And typically that put me in the center of the room and have everyone stare at me, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That can be a challenge. But this whole pandemic thing has pushed us into our corners.
Yeah.
And so we've heard the extroverts now saying, kind of like you, I thought I was an introvert or an extrovert. But now, like, as we're getting back to being with people, I'm not so sure. Yeah. Like, it was... Like I kind of got used to that being by myself.
Yeah.
We're also hearing introverts. I've heard this a lot. Is that we're just like, that's enough.
ready for people.
I'm ready for some people. And so it's an interesting thing that's happening now, especially in the workspace around the world. I think COVID pushed us into this place.
Yeah.
As companies, we started thinking about things differently. I mean, if you had told us 3 years ago, hey, we're just going to send everybody home and we're going to work from Zoom,
they would
be like, no, we can't do that. That's impossible. There's no way that doesn't work. It is literally impossible. And then they did it.
Right.
And like, okay, we're still making money. We're still doing business.
Oh, the impossible is possible.
And now it's like, okay, now we can come back to work. But maybe there's something to this. And so the hybrid work model is happening around the world. People are saying, hey, come into the office a couple times a week. But apart from that, if you get your work done, work from home.
Yeah.
And
I think all the dynamics that's going to change are going to be interesting. But I think, you know, there's benefit. The optimist in me says there's huge benefit here because we can all learn a lot from it. So like for me, for example, one of the things I know about myself is that I need to process things usually alone. Like I'm not in a group dynamic. I can interact with a group, but that'll take all my attention. I'm terrible at actually having good ideas in a group. My brain is way too focused on other people.
Yeah.
So I can take in a load of information. Mm-hmm. And then the ideal scenario is I get to go by myself. Mm-hmm. I can process it. Then I can come back and share.
Yeah.
And some people, very extroverted people, you know, they need that creative, like a team of writers, you know, they bounce the ideas and the ideas come right then and there and you get great things out of it. I think that one of the things I've learned is that usually it's me having to protect that need to be alone to process, mm-hmm. but it made me overlook that actually I gain a whole bunch of insight from the group. Mm-hmm. That's an important dynamic as well. That if I don't have, you know, a group where I get to hear and I contribute a little bit, that actually there's less for me to go away and process. Yeah. I've spent so long having to protect that I need to go away and process that I sort of overlooked how great it was to have a group. And so now, you know, as someone who relies on that process, I'm like, well, I need a group. I need to hear people bounce ideas so I can go get some.
Yeah.
You know, I've got all this, you know, the pandemic gave us a ton of alone time, but I'm missing that group. And so I think, you know, out of this, maybe that awareness, like for me, it made me appreciate, wow, I'm going to have this renewed sort of respect for, mm-hmm. this group dynamic and these loud people that, right. you know, that do this, that actually I gain from that. And I wonder if, you know, maybe on the flip side, for people who love that group dynamic, you know, maybe for them, there's more of an appreciation for, and actually I've had so much alone time that I realize I come up with some things on my own. So I do. I think, I wonder if, you know, the wise words of the Oracle are going to ring true.
The Oracle's so smart.
The Oracle's so smart, Jerry. She knows it all.
I mean, she's an omnivert.
Oh, she's, I'm sure. She transcends. She transcends all other dimensions of social interaction. But it is, I think, you know, we're all going to learn from this, I think, how to appreciate other people and what they contribute. And that's gotta be it. We gotta draw something good out of it.
Yeah,
we gotta draw something good. So basically to summarize so far, mm-hmm. the pandemic has given us dropped change fees for airlines.
Yes.
That's a huge plus.
True.
And an appreciation as far as how the opposite end of the social interaction spectrum mm-hmm. works. So that's two good things.
And it has thrown everyone out of their own personalities.
Yes, has
rocked them so hard that they are questioning even the core pieces of their personality.
Introverts need people. Like, extroverts trash alone time. What is happening? Yeah. What is happening?
Does it even register anymore? Like, does it even matter? It's like, it doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert. There are no people. So you don't really get to choose. It doesn't matter.
Well, so what do we do? I feel like it'd be worth thinking about, you know, what are the practical things? Because we are all being thrown back into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think things are beginning to open back up. I mean, by the time this airs, maybe not. By the time this airs, a new variant could have come out and we will all be, you know, we'll all be back. But we'll air this just in case a new variant hasn't come out. And we're having to deal with things. My wife pointed out that
she is brilliant.
She is pretty brilliant. She was the production meeting. She was the production meeting before everything took off. But she pointed out that even just the removal of the mask has had huge. Like we've worn masks for so long now, especially people who work in any customer facing or service industry kind of thing.
Yep.
Worn masks for so long. It's been long enough that we've been able to get used to hiding our expressions. That we've had so long behind a mask that now we're like, they can't see my face, and so I can think about this disgruntled customer any way that I need to. And now masks are off, and so now people can see our faces again, and that actually might
take some time.
People are going to have to readjust to, you know, you can't just scowl behind your mask at that annoying customer.
It's kind of like when
they can see you
when you speak a secret language, like when we spend so much time in China, we got used to, you know, to people around us not being able to understand what we were saying. And then, like when you come back into an English-speaking area, and all of a sudden you kind of have to pay attention to what you say. And vice versa, like Chinese is our language that we use when we don't want other people to know what we're saying. But then you stumble across somebody who actually understands it. Yeah, it's like taking the mask off. There's a big metaphor there, right?
There absolutely is.
Yeah. Masks off.
Masks will come off.
Are we ready for that, really? Maybe that's why we're still fighting for the mask mandates.
I mean, that's just it. There may well be some people. I think the joke is that, you know, the pandemic was an introvert's dream, which we've debunked. You know, we've already covered that.
Right.
That actually even introverts want people. But maybe
everyone's nice.
But maybe deep down it is. Maybe we are all having to assess the masks that we hide behind.
Yeah.
Oh, deep stuff, Jerry.
Deep stuff. Yeah. Oh man. So for me, we've moved in the middle of this pandemic actually,
several times.
Yeah, three
several times. I'm a little jealous, I'm not gonna lie.
We've moved twice.
As far as the international adventures,
internationally,
you're way ahead of me now.
And once domestically in the middle of a pandemic. But I feel like the big experiment right now for us is kind of that lack of community like we used to know it, right? And it was there was a build to that. We moved from China where we had great community, and it was built into the system that we worked in. So we moved in, there were people there, great community. Moved to Malta, didn't know anyone. One family really did a great job of befriending us, but that was our community. We're only there for 3 months or so. And then
feels like longer.
It did. And at the same time, it barely registers. Like it's, that was a quick time, and a lot happened in the middle of it. Then we moved back to the States, spent about 8 months with family. That was our community.
Right.
It was really good. But we were very removed from the rest of the community. And now we're in this new place. And to move from one to the other on both ends of that, with no pandemic in place, with no reason for it, would be insane. Like it would be crazy. It would be like saying, hey, everybody you know, everybody you've connected with, all your friends, all your loved ones, all the people around you that you love being with all the time, let's just take them out of the picture, right?
Let's get rid of that.
Yeah, and so there's this element of being stranded on a desert island or whatever, which makes moments like this where we get to, you know, sit across from each other, talk face to face.
It's so exciting.
It turns up the volume on that. This is a happy place for me. I'm feeling very extroverted right now
in the moment. I mean, Jerry, I'm struggling. I can see your eyes. I'm getting lost in your eyes. Lost in your eyes, Jerry. I sometimes don't remember to talk. I don't remember to talk. I'm just lost.
If there's a song about that, I'll sing.
Lost in Jerry's eyes.
Yeah, but I feel like what all of this is doing is teaching us new things about ourselves. It's tapping into a version of ourselves that we've never really experienced before. We've never had a time so removed from people. And so it's like, how does Jerry react when there are no people? And so what's that been like for you, pandemic-wise? Like, what have you learned about yourself?
Oh man, well, I mean, so many things, so many things, Jerry. I joke a lot. I'm hesitant to say it on air, but I'm gonna because.
But you know, are the editor, so
exactly. Right? Well, like I said, we're on the same audio track now, so there's no safety. There's no safety. But for me, and I feel like this is something, you know, that some of the core of what we get to discuss are the differences between, you know, being a TCK your whole life, you know, that's my side. And you who, you know, bravely just moved into that, that transience and that change. And one of the things that I take for granted in my TCK-ness is very much that transience offers a lot of protection. And so one of the things that I noticed was, for example, I say this, one of my plans pre-pandemic was to write another book and to do it on community, because community is really important to me. And it's something that I've been able to observe all across the world and all this kind of stuff. And so I wanted to write a book on just the importance of building back in interdependence, because we've moved away from it. We don't need each other like we used to. And that's actually a very healthy thing. And so I was going to write this great book, and it was going to tell people how they needed to be interdependent. You needed to have a community that you relied on or relied on you. And it was going to be this great book. And then the pandemic happened and I can't write it anymore because I've realized, Jerry, the people are awful. They're terrible. they're terrible, Jerry, which is not a good title for a community book. You can't write a community book that's called People Are the Worst. That's probably not.
I feel like I'd buy it.
Well, yeah, actually,
love to hear from the listeners on that.
Yeah.
Would you buy a book?
Would you buy a book on community called People Are the Worst? Yeah. But that's what it revealed in me, is that, you know, for me, I grew up in transience and have just continued the trend. And so for the most part, my interaction with people is limited to, you know, a 2 to 3 week spell at most. And the beauty of that is that you behave pretty well for 2 to 3 weeks. And what I learned was that I'm very deficient compared to 99.9% of the world, because 99.9% of the world are used to being around people for more than 2 weeks.
That's true.
And so their tolerance for things is based on longevity. I had no longevity tolerance. And so once that sort of initial, I'm a good guest. Like my part of my job is to be a guest, and I'm a pretty good guest. But you can't be a guest all the time. There have to be places where, well, I mean, there don't. I did it for years without it. But the pandemic forced me to stop being a guest.
Right.
And once you're around people for prolonged periods of time, you see whole other sides of them.
Yeah.
And we're terrible. We're all terrible, myself included. Like, I'm awful. Like, I'm only used to interacting 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty good version of me for 2 weeks as a guest. But being around myself and other people, you have to deal with so much more. And so it made me rethink my whole view on people. Like, I had to relook at, you know, how I value people, what my tolerance is for. I mean, I'm very conflict averse. We've discussed this a time or two. And conflict just happens, but you can avoid it for a week or two at a time. Yeah, that's fine. So yeah. So for me, you know, the pandemic has forced me to confront a lot more consistency than I probably ever would. And this is something, I take comfort in the fact that it's not just me. A lot of the TCKs that I've been able to work with through schools and things, it's the same sort of thing. We're not used to, I mean, for a lot of TCKs, you know, they're around their fellow students more than 2 weeks at a time. They're not that transient. But to some degree, you know, a lot of international families were used to a lot more travel, changes of scenery, being able to, you know, visit extended family over the summer, say, or take whatever academic breaks there were and travel a bit. And with all of that restricted, everyone sort of had to, and everyone came to a bit of a realization of, oh, people are the worst. when you're stuck around them, good gosh. But there's a lot to learn in there, I think, because it is. It makes you assess yourself as well and go, ooh, I'm the worst too. And people put up with me. They're actually, people are the worst, but they're also amazing because they put up with me. Good gosh, people put up with me.
that makes me think just about your experience and my experience, which we contrast a lot here. But I think one of the things that we've seen that I saw happen a lot working with people who were coming in and going out was that repatriation time, right? And one of the big challenges was kind of being a part of something. And people will often say that their expat community was community like they had never experienced before, which I always say, like, great community happens when you take incompetent people and you smash them together, right?
Which that is such a good thing.
That is great community because we all don't know, right? Like, we're all foreigners here. We don't speak this language. Potentially, we don't know where to buy cucumbers. We don't know where to get a haircut. We don't know any of those things. And because we're all smashed together, whatever that looks like, we have to lean on each other. And so we go to each other and say, hey, where do I buy cucumbers? We say, you don't need to go buy cucumbers. I got cucumbers in my fridge. And this is where you go and buy them. And we share with each other. And while we're doing that, right, then we start talking about life. We start talking about our people, our places, our passions. Like, all of that stuff comes out and we really grow close very quickly, and we define that as the best community we've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And then we go back to our potentially, sometimes it happens this way, our monocultural community that we came from, and we're like, you people don't know anything about community, right? Because they don't lean on it. They don't get eggs from each other. They don't need to ask where cucumbers are. We're independent, right? Yeah. We do life on our own. But those communities are very much kind of the antithesis of what you're talking about. Like, they're not 2 week communities. These are people who have been in the same geographic location their entire lives. And whether, for whatever reason, they've centered usually around a set of shared values. Like, there's something, it's why we have blue states and red states in the US, right? It's why, like, people who are smashed together, they have to look a little bit deeper than their incompetence because they're competent to figure out how to mesh together. And they end up centering around a set of values that's pretty local, right? And when you step out of that and come back, while you're gone, those values get challenged and shaped and shifted.
Right.
And then you come back and it feels like, not only do these people not know anything about community, I don't want to be like this ever again. And we can get very judgy. Like, repatriates can be some of the most judgy people in the world. The other ones, not myself.
Right.
Because I don't have any people to judge. No. So,
There are a lot of very judgmental people out there, Jerry. I can tell just by looking at them.
Yes.
They're super judgy.
You looked me straight in the eye.
Super judgy.
I want to go back to the digital
part. Super judgy. Can't be edited now, Jerry. Can't be edited. That's the danger of life.
Yeah.
No, I think it's true. And I wonder if, you know, some of the, because it is, I think most people would say things get pretty polarized politically and all sorts of stuff. And I mean, that must be true. I'm conflict averse, and even I'm bringing it up. So, you know, it's got to be a thing. But I do wonder, you know, I think the separation we've all had, I think it built up a lot of anxiousness because, you know, extroverts couldn't be extroverted. Introverts got overwhelmed by themselves.
Yep.
And so a lot of anxiety built up. And I think, and I can't help but wonder, and it's just a hypothesis, if some of, you know, our some of our desire to cling to something in the midst of all this transition and being uncomfortable, not having people when you want them, or having too much of yourself and not even knowing that could be a thing. That one of our ways to combat that was to cling really heavily to some sort of stability. And a lot of people, that stability happened to be able to fall on ideological or political lines. And so we did. We've become very, very polarized. And I wonder if, you know, as things open up, I'm interested to see whether that trend changes, whether being exposed to people again will force us into having to deal with more people of a difference of opinion. Because one of the things about being isolated is we had so much more control over who we listened to and what we heard and all of those things. Yeah. Like we really could decide that, no, I'm only going to, now that I control the gateway, I only have to be exposed to people I want to let in because it's a pandemic.
Right.
But now that we're going to be exposed to a wider group of people again, I wonder if we're going to see, you know, some maybe a thawing. I wonder if we're going to see a bit more opening up to opposing viewpoints and things like that. And I mean that, oh my word, I mean that, you know, for myself as much as everybody else. It's very easy. You know, I think I tend to steer clear of politics because conflict averse. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I have my thoughts and everything, but whew, I'm going to talk about them. That might upset someone.
Yeah.
But even on loads of other things, and I do wonder, you know, will we be able to see some of that? Has the pandemic, you know, has it emphasized our differences? And maybe just naturally having to be exposed to other people again, even in just a physical sense, I wonder if that's going to bleed over into an ideological and an intellectual sense. You know, will ideology and intellect follow physical exposure?
Right. Remind me of some of the conversation we had when we were talking about resilience and just kind of it's that resistance that causes roots to go deep, right? Causes strength and causes, I think we're waiting to see what's going to happen now. Like we've never experienced anything like this. The world never experienced anything like this. And the isolation was off the charts, through the roof. Give me another metaphor. To the sky.
To the moon.
To the moon. To the moon.
To the moon, Jerry.
Yes, isolation to the moon. We learned a lot about ourselves. Like all of us learned a lot about ourselves, and we learned a lot about each other. And some of us became people that we never would have become. I'm fascinated by that. Like, what is the potential of who you could be? Right. Like, if we put you in the right situation, who would you be? Now we've got the pandemic situation. We've learned who we are in that context, but it's kind of a wait and see. What are we post pandemic? Because I don't think we get to go back, right?
Right.
We don't.
It's going to be just get to something
reset
different
and renormalize. I think we're in for a new normal, whatever that is. And some of it's going to be good. I love the idea of the hybrid workplace. You know, which if it had been introduced 3 years ago, never would have happened. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like people actually get to work from a place they're comfortable and connect with people at the same time.
I
think it's potentially brilliant. I don't think it will probably work for everyone.
Yeah,
So I think I think there are some things that are going to be better after a pandemic, but it's going to be different regardless.
Gosh, I hope airline change fees don't come back. Just all I can think of is they're going to come back. They're going to come back. American Airlines, if you're listening, if you're listening, please keep them aboard.
I got to fly an airplane, Chris. First time in over a year.
Jerry, how was it?
It was terrible. Amazing. Like I was so thrilled to be on a plane that I just couldn't complain. But I like on the way to the airport to fly out, I started getting pings your flight has been delayed. I'm like, I'm gonna figure it out. 4 hour delay, and that wasn't the problem. They said because of that 4 hour delay, you're gonna miss your next flight, your connecting flight, which means that you're gonna get there at 7 a.m instead of 8 p.m tonight. And so it legitimately felt like China travel. Like it was a full day from the time I started to the time I got there. And then I came back, flew home, and this, I've never had this happen before, we're all sitting around the gate. It says, hey, the boarding starts at 9:15. And there's a group of us sitting around, and I'm like, this is not a full flight. This is great. We're all going to be able to stretch out.
Living the dream.
This is, there's like 20 people at this gate. This is wonderful. But those were the 20 people who didn't hear the announcement that it had been moved to 9:15 a.m.
No.
Instead of, and it's, this was 9:00 p.m. So we were all just waiting until 9:15 p.m. And somewhere they made an announcement, and somebody finally got up and says, does that say a.m.? And enough, they bounced us to the next morning. So again, it took me a good 26 hours to fly across one country, and I was still in the same country. So that part was frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even get to be in a different country. But I got to be on an airplane.
But you
got to
be on a plane.
I got to be on a plane.
Yep. Yeah. It is.
I'm
excited, nice. Jerry, because I gigs are picking back up. So,
that's great.
So I do. I leave the country for quite a few countries in a couple of weeks, and I'm excited. But
that's just, I love that sentence. I leave the country for quite a few days.
It's good. It's good for me. It's good for me. It's good for everyone, really. I'm much easier to deal with. Much easier to deal with when I can get some travel in. But man, even now it is still, I was pretty good at visas and stuff. International travel, I had that down. I've been doing it my whole life. But now, my gosh, the added complication of COVID tests and changing restrictions.
And it's different everywhere. Like, some different places everywhere. You need it, some places you don't.
And constantly changing. And so, you know, just when I think I've got it all lined up and I know which tests are needed by what time, then they're like, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And it all changes. Yeah. So, you know, there's that. But I think, you know, as we do move back into, you know, I get to go to other countries again. You've been on a plane again. We're getting to interact with other people again. I feel like one of the great piece of advice that I heard from someone is to ease back in, because the temptation is, and I did this myself. I'm looking at the travel that I have coming up. And it's a lot, Jerry. There's a lot of changes. I've managed to squeeze in. I've changed my European base of operations to a new city based on COVID restrictions, just somewhere easier to get into, to do trips out of. But I've got some complicated routing and itinerary. And in hindsight, I feel like whether it's flying or just interacting with people, the idea that we need to ease back in is probably wise. That, you know, someone said, yeah, I used to, you know, I would have different groups and stuff every night of the week. And I would, you know, go out and do this. And then my Saturday and I'd leave Sunday, you know, to rest after I see all these people all week. And someone said, you know, I jumped right back into that. And I was exhausted after a day, after a Monday night get together, I was like, whew, I'm going to have to sleep from Tuesday through Thursday now. So I feel like it may be worth, whether you're introverted, extroverted, or omniverted, somewhere on the spectrum, whether it's international travel or people, I think we're all going to have to ease back in a little bit. I think, like you said, it'll be a new normal, and that's going to be good. But I think even on, you know, what used to fuel us before,
right?
We have, you said it so well. Who we are has changed.
Yeah.
We've been exposed to ourselves so much more than we ever would have been, and so I think for some people, that means that for extroverts, you know, if you are used to drawing energy from other people. We've had to be so introverted. I think everyone moved on the scale a little bit. And so for extroverts, it may well be that actually jumping back into the level of interaction that you were at before may suddenly strike you as actually kind of tiring because you've learned to draw some energy from being alone. Right. And the flip side is true as well. I think for introverts, you know, they're going to have to ease back into the idea that actually people are pretty great and I miss them enough that, you know, no one, I think we all have to avoid the temptation of going too overboard. It was all the self-restraint I had, Jerry, not to just add in a whole bunch of extra. I was like, well, I'm so close. I mean, I'm already in this city. I could just add a hop over to this city. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Behave. Don't go nuts.
Ease yourself in.
Ease back in. We've got to ease back in.
And I think that awareness as you ease back in and recognizing, just paying attention to what has shifted in throughout all of this, right? Like, I feel like if we haven't paid attention or if we haven't been exposed to something that looks like normal or the new normal, or like if we're just getting started with that, it could come as a huge shock for the extrovert who suddenly realizes he's an introvert,
right?
Or the introvert who's like, I meet these people, and understanding who we are in all of that. I think it's going to be really critical as we get back to whatever we keep saying, get back.
It's true.
It's hard to move forward. It is really hard not to.
It's hard not to.
But as we move forward into whatever's next, recognizing what has shifted, and it's very easy to kind of direct all of the attention to what's shifted in the world. Like a lot has shifted in the world.
Right.
But I think starting with ourselves and saying, what's shifted in me? What has this done to me? Because there's also a lot of grief, I think, that we're carrying with us. There, pandemics equal loss. There's been tremendous loss from the loss of life, but down to, you know, the loss of patterns and routines and the disruption. All of that is loss, and it doesn't take away from the bigness or the pain of big losses, right? For you to say, it's actually been a loss for me because I've been disrupted, right? You're not saying, I'm experiencing the same thing as people who have lost life.
Yeah.
Right?
It's okay for there to be varying degrees.
All of those losses generate grief. And so, like, just getting aware of that and paying attention to what grief do I have? You know, what have I lost, and how has that impacted me?
Yeah.
And then how does that move forward with me into the next thing?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
One is grief. And I talk about this sometimes at schools and things, the reality, this kind of loss, it causes grief, and grief is always going to be expressed. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
It's going to come out. We either choose how it comes out, or it's going to leak out in unexpected ways.
Right.
And I think that's probably, in all honesty, moving forward, as we get used to a new normal, I feel like it would be wise for all of us to bear in mind, A, that we have grief that's going to be expressed. And even if it is, and for some people, it's easy to recognize the grief. They've lost loved ones. They've lost jobs.
I've had that experience before, and so they know what to attach that to, right? Like they know what it feels like. Oh, yes, this is grief.
I recognize this. Right.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, you know, they've lost everything down to routines or security or all sorts of things have changed that we have. We've lost, even if it is just as simple as routine and security, that loss is going to cause grief, and that grief is going to be expressed. So it'd be worth bearing in mind that it's probably wise to set aside some time to intentionally let that out, because otherwise it's going to come out in unexpected ways. And I think we're going to have to give each other, as we're suddenly exposed to each other way more, we're going to have to give each other a lot of extra room, because everyone else is carrying grief. And a lot of people probably don't even know that they're carrying grief, and it's going to come out. It's going to be expressed. So it may mean, you know, maybe we need to add a little bit of extra patience, that the interactions we have out in the world, people might be a little more short tempered. People might be, because they're carrying grief. We can't see it, but their routines, their normal, their security, all of that has been interrupted. Even their, how they recharge, you know, again, introverts might find themselves more extroverted and vice versa. All of that has changed to be dealt with. So I think we're all going to have to be a lot more patient with each other. Mm-hmm. As a mask has come off, we're a little more vulnerable than we think. And we need to be patient, because vulnerable people can be dangerous, because hurt people. So it'd be worth bearing in mind that as we physically get to run around without masks, that actually people have been emotionally unmasked and may need a little bit of extra handle with care.
Yeah.
Handle the people around you with care.
And as we have turned up the dials, we've turned up the volume on every personality trait in just about every human on the planet. Like pandemics have done that. We've seen people crawl into their holes. Maybe that was their nature before, but they have just dropped off and we haven't heard from them, right? The people who are loud and proud and arrogant and jerks, we turned up the volume on that too, right? Yeah. Like this has been the great inflator. And I feel like both challenge and opportunity. It is a challenge when you're carrying grief because you have lost routine and patterns, right? It is a challenge to seek support for that loss when every person on the planet has at least lost that. And many people have lost much more. Like our threshold for sympathy has gone, it just dropped, right?
Yeah.
Like
there's, it's a good point.
Everybody's out of sympathy. Like, that's it? You lost in routine? Okay,
let me tell you any idea.
Yeah. So there's, like, that's the challenge, is to, one, both offer and seek that the sympathy that you need and the empathy that you need, the connection with people that you need when everybody's in that same situation. And at the same time, everybody's in that same situation. And so they're the empathetic people. Guess what? We just cranked up the volume on everything, right?
Yeah.
So let your empathy shine. Let it go crazy and connect with people. And that's the beauty, I think, with empathy, is there's this two-way connection. I'm not just feeling bad for you because you had loss. I feel that too. I want to hear your story. I'd love to share my story. Can we share our stories and find some connection that one builds community, even if it's just between two people.
Yeah.
And it can happen over and over again, but it really brings some of the healing that we all need after this mess.
Yeah. Well, like, first of all, I think we called the pandemic the great inflator. Mm-hmm. First of all, that's genius. Second of all, it needs to be done in a Scottish accent. That just sounds
great. Oh, my goodness.
Let me do it. Do it, Jerry.
I don't know Scottish.
No, I'm here.
Right? Right? Sorry. I'm sorry.
That was everything I hoped for.
Who was it? Was it Scottish or was that Irish?
It was something.
No, I'm sorry, Scotland and Ireland.
That was everything I hoped for.
The rest of that.
Dude, I feel like when I want to look back, that's what I'm going to call the pandemic. I'm going to call it the great inflator.
Because, oh, that's so good.
Because that doesn't that just sound right, Jerry?
It does.
The pandemic was the emotional great inflator.
You put COVID on front of us. Yeah, that sounds good.
The COVID pandemic was the emotional great inflator.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just magical,
that's
right
good.
There.
That you really
could,
is.
You could sell that.
Yeah, that's exactly how I said
it. That's exactly right. I was just repeating you. I was just repeating you. But I think in some ways, and maybe the hopeful note to sum this up on is that, because I am, I realize I'm desperately trying to pull positives out of it. So, a lack of change fees, again, please, let's keep those. Really, it's my main point here. Let's keep it. It's all about me, Jerry. I need to be able to change my tickets. So there's that. But also, I think in some ways, what an equalizing force and what a great opportunity we have because we've brought introverts and extroverts much closer together and we've exposed a need. I mean, you started the episode by talking about the phenomenon, and it's so true and repeated so often that, you head, overseas or out of your comfort zone into a new culture. And you're a whole bunch of people who don't know what you're doing. So you cling together. And it creates this amazing sense of community. And that's something that I've seen over and over again is people who, once they return to normality or normalcy, as some people say. Mm-hmm. Jerry, I take issue with that. We've had the word normality for a long time. And it means there's no need for normalcy. It's normality.
Yeah,
we've been saying that.
It's just always a weird word.
It's a weird word because it's a made up word. We don't need that. That's a side note. But I think you return from that overseas experience where everyone is really interdependent because they have to be, and you return to a place where people don't have to be independent and you feel that lack of community. So in many ways, what a great blessing that we've had a situation that basically has equalized everyone, where now everybody is keenly aware of their need for other people, whether it's introvert, extrovert, whether it's across the political spectrum. I think this has been in many ways equalizing and exposed everyone's needs, so we have a great chance to build up community. So along with a drop in change fees, we've also benefited from an equalizing need for community.
This has been the best pandemic ever.
I mean, if I were going to pick one to go through,
right?
I mean, actually, compared to other, in all honesty, I think about pandemics that happened in the past. And I'd still pick this one.
A little
It's been rough, but my gosh, it's still. Could you imagine this? We've said this before, but imagine this pandemic just 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Without, you know, like video calling and stuff. There's no Zoom 20 years ago.
What would it have done to business, to commerce, to the world?
I mean, we're coming out of it, and that makes me happy. Yeah. Of course, again, we're only airing this episode if there's no new variant.
That's true.
Because otherwise none of this means, you know.
Unless it's a good one.
Unless it's a good one. Yeah. Right. Maybe there's a great variant coming.
Yeah.
We never think about that. That, you know, it's always bad. It's always got to be cold and flu-like symptoms or worse. What if there's a variant that, like, makes hair grow? Because Jerry,
oh my goodness, I'm on it. Jerry, absolutely.
I could use some hair growth. I'm not sure if you've seen the cover of our podcast, but I could use some hair growth. So maybe.
Yep. I tell you what, if you show up in person at my door, face to face, here at DNC headquarters.
DNC headquarters.
Right. With just a full head.
Best variant ever.
Yeah. Some beautiful, long, blonde, flowing hair.
Gorgeous locks.
My first words to you will be, cough in my face.
Please. In fact, give me, what would be, let's see, that would be the hair variant, H. I don't know. They have such, I mean, I can't even think what H is in any sort of Greek anything. All I can think of is the phonetic alphabet. It would be the hotel variant, which sounds like something else entirely. I don't think anybody wants a hotel variant, but we're going to have it. We're going to have it. Listen, our fantastic team of writers, and by that I mean my wife, suggested that.
It's brilliant, by the way.
Brilliant. Yeah. I know, right? Mm-hmm. I know. Everyone should have one. She wisely suggested that we could open this up to listener input. So, because I don't think we haven't done a good job of advertising how on earth to get a hold of us. So listen, for our dear listeners, if you have a thought of a topic you would like for us to unpack, you can tell us about it by emailing DNC, that's Delta November Charlie, at chris-o.com. Once again, that's Delta November Charlie. At Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Charlie Hotel, Romeo. That's going to be too long. Yeah. No one's going to remember all that.
Rewind it.
DNC@chris-o.com. Email us and let us know what you would like for us.
In the show notes.
We could. That's wise. That's wise.
We'd love to hear from you.
Go through an entire phonetic alphabet. Don't listen to my phonetic alphabet. Just click the link that's somewhere on wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Because we'll unpack it. We're not scared. Jerry.
We ain't scared.
And you know those tricks. I'm staring into his eyes and resisting the temptation to get lost.
Reunited and it feels so good.
I wish I knew that song better so I could
sing along. That's the only one. Oh, I almost started. I'm not thinking of this. Because I know it goes with Reunited. And it's like, Reunited and...
That's what I've got to contribute. Just shoopity-ba some stuff.
This has been good. This has been really good to be face to face.
I know.
Across the table, unpacking the world.
Thanks for joining us, dear listeners, here at DNC HQ, which has been such a delight. Mm-hmm. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Oh, we've got guests coming up. Just a little teaser. Yeah, guests coming up.
Yeah.
Really amazing guests. So you should keep listening.
Yep.
But
so even if you didn't tune in this time.
If you didn't tune in next time. Yeah. It'll be worth it next time. Take care, everybody.